From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Back from Hawaii, and many thanks to the staff of KHVH, 830 on your AM dial, for the hospitality while I was there, and also for you, those of you who attended the wonderful event Saturday night. It was a great opportunity to meet a lot of you. Coast-to-coast listeners are strong in Hawaii. It was just a fun time, and I popped on a plane yesterday and came back to Los Angeles, so I'm back. It was a fast trip. If I ever do this again, I'll have to stay for a few months. Next hour, the name is Daniel Pinchbeck. And he'll have an in-depth look at Mayan and Hopi prophecies, as well as a very in-depth look at crop circles. Here's some of the news of the day before we get into this hour's guest. A huge earthquake struck off Indonesia's west coast late Monday, killing hundreds of people whose homes collapsed on them and spreading panic across the Indian Ocean that another killer tsunami was on the way. Indonesia's vice president predicted up to 2,000 deaths. Fears of a second tsunami catastrophe in just over 3 months eased within hours as officials in countries at risk reported their coasts clear of the type of earthquake-spawned waves that ravaged a dozen countries in Asia and Africa on December 26. Almost all the deaths reported after the 8.7 magnitude quake were on Indonesia's Nias Island, a popular surfing spot off of Sumatra's island's west coast and close to the epicenter. Police were pulling children's bodies out of the rubble of collapsed houses, and a fire was reportedly raging in one town. And again, they're predicting up to 2,000 deaths, and that could always go higher. It did with the tsunami as well. A Japanese scientist who was involved in a study on the December 26 earthquake and tsunami that devastated the area warned on Monday that a powerful earthquake may occur in the central to southern part of Sumatra in the future. His warning came just hours before the powerful quake that hit in that area of 8.2. Just hours he made that prediction. And also Ed Dames on January 1st talking to Art Bell predicted that there would be close to a 9-magnitude quake in Indonesia in March of this year. His map is of the feature article story on the coasttocoastam.com website, which shows the location of the prediction very, very close to today's quake, about 2,000 miles away. But you know what? In Earth miles, it's pretty darn close. And also on this program, just a few days ago, you heard this from one of the callers who called me.
You mentioned full moon Friday, and as a matter of fact, the full moon means the moon is opposite the sun, right?
The full moon means it's opposite the sun, and we're getting a direct look at it, yes.
All right. If you can see it, it's totally fogged here. But anyway, it's right next to Jupiter.
Okay.
And Jupiter is square to Saturn. So Saturn is square to the sun as well. You put the moon in that line between, Jupiter and the Earth and the sun, and put a square angle up to Saturn, you've got the best possibility for earthquakes.
And you are absolutely right. And I have not checked to see if we had any worldwide tonight, but I bet within the next couple days we're going to get some. And we sure did we not? Also, Jim Berkland, geologist, who's a regular guest on Coast to Coast, on his website predicted that between March 8th and the 15th, there would be a magnitude 7 in that area. So Jim was off by just a few weeks, but he has always been pretty close to the button on those as well. Terry Schiavo clinging to life after being given last rites, and protesters who rallied outside her Florida hospice vowed to march on the White House in their quest to have her feeding tube reinserted. While she lay in a hospice bed, her father told reporters that time remained to save his daughter's life, but she is slipping quickly now. Florida's Governor Jeb Bush said that he had to respect decisions made by federal courts last week not to have the tube reinserted. Meanwhile, Terry Schiavo's husband is set to inflict what her grieving relatives charge is the final insult, they say, insisting that her body be cremated against their religious wishes and then buried in his family's plot. Now, the family, of course, is Catholic. The Schindler family is Catholic, and the Catholics do not believe in cremation. But Michael Schiavo apparently is going to go ahead and cremate her body after her death. And apparently his attorney released a report just moments ago that said that he would request an autopsy, however, just so people wouldn't accuse him of anything prior to the cremation. But the family's all upset about that situation. In New Mexico, a man who was bound by the ankles, tied to a vehicle and dragged more than a mile in critical condition. Officers received a report of an injured man in a parking lot of a fast food restaurant. They arrived to find him tied up in a rope. Drag marks led them back to this fellow's house. He's a single father of two. No arrests made at this time. 16-year-old girl sits in a chair in a Russian Orthodox church. She's being held down by her mother. Light filters from a high window, and the air is thick with tension. There is the smell of holy incense. A priest stands over her reading the rite of an exorcism. The girl squirms in her mother's arms, groaning and growling. I want you to hear a portion of this audio. You have to listen very closely. Apparently, every time the priest shook the holy incense, all of a sudden the girl would just scream and growl even more. The recording was made by a fellow by the name of Eugene Safronov, who is the assistant to one of the exorcists in the Russian Orthodox Church. Although he did not assist in this particular case, he was a witness and has assisted another priest in many other instances. This audio available, by the way, on the paranormal.about.com website, and it is just remarkable how these exorcisms occur. Changing behaviors, that's what it's all about. And in our moment, a guest will be Doris Wild Helmerine. She's a psychotherapist. We'll talk with her on Coast to Coast AM. Doris Wild Helmerine is a psychotherapist who has been in private practice for 30 years, the author of 8 books, the most recent, Think Thin, Be Thin. She's a corporate speaker, executive coach, an on-air therapist, has written 1,000-plus newspaper columns distributed by Scripps Howard News Service. Ms. Helmerine has appeared on Oprah, Good Morning America, CNN, and also, I hired her in 1979 and gave her her first media break in St. Louis a long time ago. Hi, Doris. How are you?
Hi, George. How are you? Yes, absolutely you do. In fact, I remember when you called and tried to convince me to go on television, and I kept saying, nah, I don't think so. And you kept saying, come on, what's it going to take? More money. And I said, no, I don't think so. And then you said, how about a clothing allowance? And I said, okay, I'll do it.
That's right. You did it. Indeed.
Instantly.
That's right. How have you been over the last few years?
Hey, I've been great. Everything's been good. And you too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Things are fine. And look, you know, you're doing Oprah shows, Good Morning America, and I'm sure more and more on your plate. This new concept, by the way, of changing habits by thinking thin, for example, to be thin, how does that work?
Well, first of all, what we know is through research that first you think, and then you feel, and then you behave. So it's you think, you feel, you behave. Keep remembering that, okay? So your thoughts determine your behavior. And if you learn to control those thoughts, you're going to change, really, the neural landscape of your brain. And if you want to lose weight, you can do it by changing your thoughts. If you want to control your drinking or stop smoking, you can do it by changing your thoughts. And you can even get in control of a bad temper or gambling problem. So what I tell people is breaking bad habits all start with how you think. And I think a lot of times we just don't step back very much from ourselves and really take a look at what we're thinking at the time that we're thinking it. And that's one of the important things that people really need to do.
Doris, does that include people, for example, who road rage?
Absolutely.
How about people who are just, you know, evil type people? I mean, they have, like you said, short fuses. They just go off the handle real fast.
I think people that have sharp fuses, there are some people who have what we call a high irritability excitability quotient. And those people, really, that's genetically driven. We can't help that. But what you can help is you can make a decision that you're going to control it. And one of the things that I tell people over and over, if they have a sharp fuse or if they have a drinking problem or if they have an anger problem, our weight problem, is to use an affirmation. And I think really that's one of the fastest ways to restructure your thought patterns and actually develop new pathways in your brain so that you're going to be able to control that particular bad habit. And people always say, well, you know, like, how can an affirmation work? Well, an affirmation is really just one sentence that you use, and you pick it out and you say it over and over to yourself. So if you're going to be working on your weight, what you might want to say is, I'm a powerful, smart person, and I choose to control what I put in my mouth. Or if you're going to be working on your drinking, we'll say, you know, you can say, I'm a powerful, smart person, and I choose to control my drinking or my smoking or my gambling, whatever the particular bad habit is. And what I tell people is to say that affirmation, pick out one that really works for you, that feels right for you, as well as you think, yep, this is the thing I want to do. And then what you do is you're going to say that a couple thousand times a day. And, you know, you say it when you're blow-drying your hair, taking a shower, walking across the parking lot, in the subway, anytime you're kind of doing a mindless task. And what happens is that it really does change the brain. And we can show that with PET scans. And so if people would just use that particular technique, they would really get in control of their bad habits that they want to be working on.
And obviously, they have to tell themselves that they've got an addiction or a problem in the first place, don't they?
They do, but most people know that they're overweight. Most people know that they get too mad. Most people know that they're going gambling too much. They really do know it. They may not want to do anything about it yet. You know, I have people come in and say, in fact, I have this guy in therapy that comes in and says to me all the time, you know, I have to stop drinking. Well, his wife tells him he has to stop drinking. His kids have told him he should stop drinking. And also, he's gotten a DWI. So he's got a lot of information out there that he really does need to stop drinking. But what he is doing is that when he says, I have to stop drinking, he's sort of like giving other people the power. He puts them in a position of the parent, and he gets to be the rebellious child then. And until he really says, I choose to control my drinking, or I choose not to drink, I don't think that guy's going to give up drinking. And, you know, that's another thing that I talk about is if you really want to change a bad habit, what you want to do is you want to change the way you talk to yourself in your head. And we've got all kinds of research through neurolinguistic programming that the very words that you use when you talk to yourself in your head actually helps you change your behavior. And I think people are just not aware of that, and it's not so hard to do.
Do people have to hit rock bottom first, Doris, before they can make a change?
No, absolutely not. I mean, that's kind of an old notion, and no more do we believe that. We believe that as you start to slide, you see yourself sliding, and you need to grab a hold of yourself and say, whoa, you know, my weight's getting out of hand. Or, you know, I keep saying that the cleaner shrunk my pants, but, you know, this is getting too much. Or, well, if it's a drinking problem, you know when you've got a problem, and you know you need to clean it up.
As far as the affirmation, how do you get the right affirmation? I mean, are the words important? I mean, what if you don't do the right one, for example?
Well, I think all you have to do is to say, I choose to, and that's really important. There was some ideas about, well, maybe you shouldn't put the word not in it, but that's okay. Just say, I choose to. So what are you choosing to do? I choose to control what I put in my mouth, or I choose not to gamble, or I choose to give up smoking. I choose to give up gambling, or I choose to gamble only once a week. Something like that. And so you can pick out your own affirmation, and then you can start saying that over and over again.
It's almost like imprint training, isn't it, by
it
doing
is.
That?
It does. It changes the brain.
When you put together this book, Think Thin, Be Thin, you, of course, you're in shape. I've never known you to be overweight.
Well, I work at it. That's because I work at it.
Do you work at it psychologically, or you know, you just don't eat a lot of food?
Well, what I do is I work at it psychologically, and what happens is that I always think about that morning, what am I going to eat for that day? So if I have a lunch date or if I'm going to go out for dinner that night, I'm much more careful during the day so that I count. What I do is I count points, and people do different things. When somebody comes to me and they want to lose weight, I always let them choose their own diet because most people know a lot about diets. A lot of times they don't know how many calories a particular food has, but they do tend to know about what diet they want to go on. So, and what I do for myself is I just kind of keep in touch in my head with how much I'm eating, and I become aware. And a lot of times I think people are just unaware. In fact, I've been working with this one woman who's now dropped about 60 pounds, and it was so interesting to me. I mean, I said to her, well, like, I mean, she was having trouble walking when she came to me. And I said, well, like, you know, what happened when you went to the store and you had to buy bigger clothes? And she says, well, you know, as long as I could find clothes that fit, well, then that was okay. And it was sort of like she just had no awareness of how much food she was putting in her mouth. And she said she'd go to a fast food restaurant if she felt like it. You know, she just got the urge, she'd be passing by, you know, one of the fast food places, and she'd drive in and she'd order whatever she wanted. And it wasn't until her son said, Mom, what are you doing to yourself? You're killing yourself. Stop it. That she really started to get a hold of herself. So I believe she was just kind of like in the very early stages of change until her son kind of moved her along and said, hey, Mom, you got to start preparing yourself for change. You got to be doing something differently.
One of the fast food restaurants today, Doris, has announced that they're coming out with a 720-calorie hamburger.
Oh, my God.
47 grams of fat. Now, you're really going to have
really
to do an affirmation on that one.
I think that's not very what you want to buy.
That isn't good. Can you do
that's
it by...
A, you know what? For a guy, even, that's a third of his caloric intake for the day, one hamburger.
Yeah, absolutely. And what if they have two? Then that's it.
You got it.
Can these goals to change habits be done by yourself as an individual, or do you need help? Do you need to go to a Doris Weil-Helmrein, a psychotherapist, or a group of people? Or can you do it on your own?
Well, I think that's different for different people. I think some people can do it on their own. They're more private, and what they want to do is they want to sort of take the bull by the horns, and they're going to use these techniques, and they're going to be able to change their own behavior. And they don't want other people to know that they're dieting or they're working on giving up smoking. And then there are other people that do much, much better with a group of people where they get that support. You know, when I work with people that come to me in therapy is that I'm really like their cheerleader and sort of some days their tyrant. And so every day, like if somebody is going to work on their weight with me, they have to call me at the end of every day and they have to report their points or their calories, and then they also have to report if they've worked out or not, how they've done for the day. And I can start to tell as people call, you know, if they're starting to give themselves excuses. I have this one woman who really struggles, and, you know, she'll say, well, I didn't do so very well today. You know, I cooked dinner for the kids. Well, what the heck? You can still cook dinner for the kids and do better. But, you know, but I get to know her in that kind of a way. So she's really struggling. And other people, man, they hit their target points or their target calories every single day. So for them, that's really helpful. But I've heard almost everybody says to me, Doris, it's really helpful if I can email you, or it's helpful if I can report to you. And what I tell people is, you know, get yourself a friend and exchange your points or exchange your calorie count every single day. And what you'll do is you can kind of cheer each other along in terms of losing weight, or cheer each other along in terms of giving up smoking.
Can someone do this to change a career, for example? Can they say to themselves, I choose to get a better job. I choose to be happier. I choose, and really go after it, and would it happen?
Yes, it would happen, because what we know is that if you operate from a belief system that you can get something done, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get it done. And I think we should all be like the little engine that could, you know, I think I can, and then actually you can do it. And research, positive psychology research, really shows that if you believe that you can get the job done, you can get it done. And sometimes, you know, you're going to slip back. you're going to absolutely be determined you're going to give up smoking. You give it up for 4 days, and then you go back to smoking again. Okay, so you slip back. Then the next day you get up, and by gosh, you start all over again. You know, I tell people to divide the day into quadrants, which means I start out with, okay, so we have the morning quadrants, the midday quadrant, the evening quadrant, and then the late evening quadrant. And if you slip up in that third quadrant, okay, you don't have to mess up for the fourth quadrant. And I think what happens a lot of times is people will mess up and, you know, they'll do what they don't want to do, and then guess what? They give themselves permission to keep, you know, messing up, as opposed to, okay, so I messed up, so I'm going to grab a hold of myself again, and I'm going to keep trudging along, because in the end, I can lose weight. I can give up smoking. I can control my drinking or stop drinking. I can stop gambling, or I can go less.
Doris, we're getting a lot of phone calls for you already, so we'll take some calls when we come back. And also, I want to talk with you about positive and negative energy and see how people can go from negative to positive and really change their lives. I'm George Norrie right here on Coast to Coast AM with our guest Doris Wild-Helmerine. Her book, Think Thin, Be Thin, her website, linked up with her name right now on Coast to Coast AM, is Doris Wild-Helmerine, HELMERING.com. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your calls.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. George Norrie, call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, you know how I've told you in the past about my buddy George Poulos. He works at the Great Greek Restaurant here in Los Angeles. And older fella, George has been a Hollywood actor, and he does some things. He does just about everything. But he's the one who saw the ghost of his mother on the day of her funeral. He's the one that we thought was bitten by a spider and his leg swelled up and he sees all kinds of strange things. Well, listen to this. He's listening to the program a month or so ago when we had Glynis McCanson, the numerologist. And he hears Glynis talking about putting a number 8 in your wallet. George's fortunes sometimes ride like a roller coaster. So this time he said, you know what, I'm going to put the 8 in my wallet. I'll see what happens. He does. He goes to a casino just for the heck of it. And he plays slots, and he wins $6,000. This has never happened to him before. He goes home. The next day, he comes back, and he says, what the heck? I'm $6,000 up. I'll spend another $100. He goes in the casino, sits there for 5 minutes. He's got the 8 on him. he wins another $5,000. He told me tonight that listening to Coast and Glynis McCants that night has changed his life. Now, that doesn't happen to all of us, right? But for George Poulos, who has positive energy, it worked for him. We're going to highlight stories like that in the May issue of the After Dark newsletter, and you will be able to get that and 14 issues for the price of 12. So call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. And also online, very safe and secure, at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest this hour, Doris Wildhelmerine. Doris, I'm glad I hired you a long time ago, I'd never be able to pronounce your name if I didn't know that.
You know, everybody messes it up.
Not me.
No, you don't.
Can someone who is, now I'm going to give you an example, then, and you tell me if they can, someone who's negative turn themselves into a positive with the same program? Because I've seen people, I've talked about it on the program before, Doris, they are so negative, they clean out a room. People don't even want to be around them. I call them energy zappers. They've got this negativity all around them. They need to change their life because I really think that this negative energy is pulling them down. Can you convert from being a negative person like that to a positive by doing some of the techniques and think then be thin?
Well, you know what? I would like to say absolutely yes. I'm not quite so sure. I do know that negative self-talk is very self-defeating, and I think that when people get into being critical of stuff, they do clean out the room. It's sort of like you want to run out of the room, and you want to say, oh my gosh, I can't stand that particular person. I think part of the problem with people who are very negative is that they don't see themselves that way. And so if you're going to change, what you have to do is you have to be ready for change. You have to be in sort of that preparation action stage of change. And a lot of times they're really not, unless one of their good friends or maybe, you know, someone they're married to or one of their children say, oh my gosh, Mom, you get so critical sometimes. You really need to change those comments that you're making, or you say that to a good friend, and then, you know, they're going to pull back from you. So it's pretty hard to get those people to change. But if they come into therapy and they say, you know, I would really like to change my criticalness, then what I do is I start by having them write down every critical comment they hear themselves make. And they have to write down not only the ones they hear themselves make out loud, but the ones inside of their head. And a lot of times they'll come up with 40, 50, 60 critical comments a day. And then when they start to actually see that, then they can start to change. And in the beginning, they start to talk less because they don't know what to say. They don't know exactly how to make comments without having it sound critical or without it being critical. And so eventually then they get in touch with what they're doing, and then they can go about and change.
What about somebody who's addicted to drugs? Not just alcohol-type drugs, but, I mean, serious stuff, real serious stuff.
Well, I think real serious stuff, what they're going to actually do is to probably need a treatment center. If somebody's addicted to crack, if they use a lot of cocaine, then they're going to really have to work with a therapist, and they're not going to be able to do it on themselves. They might wish they can, but they're not going to be able to. But there are so many bad habits that people really can change themselves. And all they have to do is make a decision that they're going to be able to do it.
Let's go to the phones. Ready?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. West of the Rockies, you're on the line with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, it's a pleasure, George and Doris.
Hi, thanks for calling us.
Sure, I have a big question. Well, first, can I just say, I listened to your show, George, when Adam was on.
Yes, Adam the Healer.
Yes, and I got both his books. I ordered them right away, so I'm in the middle of that.
Good for you.
Wonderful. But my question would be, I understand the power of the mind, and Doris, some of what you say reminds me of EMDR, you know, where you have to integrate those thoughts. You just can't just say them once. Well, my issue would be with a chronic illness, MS in my case. Is there some technique or something that you have used or found to be useful to help? Because the mind can heal. We just don't know how to tap into it.
Well, you know, one of the things that I would probably do with you is I would want you to learn self-hypnosis, because I think if you're what you would have to decide is, you know, what do you want? Do you want to be able to have more energy? Do you want to be able to heal yourself? You know, hypnosis really is simply a state of intense concentration. And when you're in that state, your brain is much more accepting of information because you've closed out other stimuli. And so what I would do is I would probably come up far you with a hypnotic suggestion, such as, you know, I choose to be strong and healthy, or I've made a decision to be strong and healthy, or when I get out of bed in the morning, I feel strong and healthy, something like that. And then what you do is you learn self-hypnosis, and then you give yourself that hypnotic suggestion. And, you know, it really does work. It is amazing how self-hypnosis can be helpful to people. And that would be one of the things that I would tell you to do.
Interesting. You know, I do Qigong, and one of the affirmations is, you know, at the end when you do this practicing, that I am free from pain and illness, you know, and there's part of that affirmation, which is good. And then are you, is meditation a totally going to be different effect than self-hypnosis?
Meditation is a bit different. I also talk about that and how to be able to use some of those particular skills in the book. And I think that's a good thing. The other thing, I want to go back to your MS. One of the things I would probably tell you to do is to develop a good memory. And what I mean by that is take the time to think about all the kindnesses that have come your way in life and pay attention to the small things that people do for you. Because one of the things that research really does show is that if you become aware and grateful of the good things that have happened to you in life, you're going to protect yourself. And so that would be one of the things that I would do. I would also maybe do a gratitude journal where you would write down all the things that you're grateful for. And sometimes just those kinds of things are very helpful for people who are ill, and it helps them move beyond their illness.
Okay, thanks for your call. Heck, Doris, here you are telling people to use this technique if they have a gambling addiction and problem. And then I'm talking about my buddy George Poulos, who puts an eight in his pocket and goes out and wins $11,000. I'm not making your job any easier,
am I? Well, but it didn't sound like he had a gambling problem, although he might if he goes every day.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he thinks his...
I mean, really, George, I'll have to come back and teach him how what he should not be doing.
I'm telling you, if he thinks his number eight's going to work all the time, I may have created a problem.
No. For everybody.
Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. It's a privilege. How you doing?
Thank you, sir. Great. Where are you calling from?
I am in Norwich, Connecticut. My name is Kevin, and I'm listening on XM Radio.
Okay, my friend. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin.
Doris, good evening. You're such an upbeat person. It's a pleasure to listen to you.
Thank you very much.
I sort of have a two-parter. First, if a person wants to do some work in their life on a relationship with another person,
mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I know that it's important not to meditate or work on changing others' behavior, et cetera, et cetera.
Although we certainly all try, don't we?
Yes, we do. But if one wants to work and meditate and give this kind of reinforcement that you're talking about to oneself by saying something like, I believe this can be a healthy relationship and that it can improve, or something like that. I'm just throwing something out there. Does this work on relationships? And the second part of my question.
Well, hold on. Let me answer that one first.
Yes.
You know what? I think that probably I would not use an affirmation for that. What I would do instead is to say, you know, what part of this relationship is healthy? And what I would do is focus in a positive way on the part that's healthy. Because I think a lot of times what people do is that they focus on the negative in the relationship as opposed to the positive. So if you really want this relationship to go and you think there's a lot of good things about it, then what you want to do is focus on the positive. And also make sure that you give that person in the relationship a lot of strokes, a lot of attention, tell them how wonderful they are, and don't focus on the negative. Don't be critical. So that would be the first part of the answer.
Yeah. As I was listening to you before I do my second part, I was thinking of something I used to say. We ought to take the word can't out of the dictionary.
Oh, my gosh. I tell people that all the time.
If someone has identified several issues in their life that they want to work on, perhaps they want to lose weight and quit smoking and work on self-esteem and make a career change, is it best just to select one or two things to focus on? Or, you know, is this energy limitless in a sense?
Well, here's what I would do. Is if I wanted to lose weight and quit smoking, I would use the affirmation, I choose not to smoke and I choose to lose weight. I choose not to smoke, I choose to lose weight. And I would just put those two together. I think what will happen also is that as you lose weight and as you are able to give up smoking, what's going to happen is you're going to build your self-esteem. You're going to feel better about yourself. And as you feel better about yourself, it's going to be very easy to make a career switch. A lot of times people don't make career switches because they don't feel very good about themselves. So good self-esteem is going to be helpful to you. So that's what I would probably do.
I'm laughing because it's such a logical progression. I guess I just needed the reinforcement of hearing you say it. I thank you very much.
Thanks. Right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, right. George.
Appreciate it, Doris.
You know,
Kevin. Go ahead,
George. One of the things that he said was, you know, we should take the word can't out of our vocabulary. And I think that's really one of the things that neurolinguistics programming has really pushed, is that don't say, you know, I can't lose weight or I can't stop smoking. Because when you say, I can't, what you're doing is you're putting yourself kind of in this victim position, where if you say, I choose not to stop smoking or I choose not to lose weight, guess what? Now you've got some power. And then at any point in time, you can decide that, yeah, you know what? I think I am going to lose weight, or I think I am going to give up smoking or stop drinking or whatever. So the kinds of words you use in your head are incredibly important in terms of actually accomplishing what you want. And again, that's a way to change the brain.
I was going to say, but you can't take the word can't out, because then we wouldn't have can't.
We could try, but then that's not a very good one either, because when people in therapy tell me they're going to try to do something, I know darn well they're not going to do it.
Lots of people have faced all kinds of stress these days from a lot of things, some from government, some from world events. These poor people who are undergoing these tragedies in the Indonesia area and Sumatra with these tsunamis and these earthquakes, they've got to be under a lot of stress. Can you, with these techniques, make yourself happier in the middle of all this stress?
Well, I think what you can do is you can, again, focus on the positive. And, you know, it's just like when I feel kind of down about something, what I do is I say, okay, come on, Doris, now think about all the good things that you have in your life. And what I do is I really list those. I actually list those in my head. And that's a technique that I've used for a long time. And that really does help. Does it help every single time? No. But oftentimes it really does help, because it kind of pulls you up short and it makes you think about the good things in life. You know, when I walk into a grocery store, one of the things I think is, oh my gosh, look at all these vegetables. Look at all this wonderful fruit that I can buy. And it's right there. And I can have it. And what a gift this is. And I think that's really important, to focus on the good things, to focus on the positive. We know that if you focus on the positive, if you have a belief system that you can accomplish something, you're going to get the job done.
Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maui.
Wow.
My name's Alan.
Almost went that way.
Aloha, ho'opili pili. That's
what did
friend.
He just say, George?
Well, he said hello, and that's all I know.
Yeah, okay.
ho'opili pili. Pili pili grasses grows and twists together as it grows. So we're close friends.
That's a wonderful, that's like a small poem. That's wonderful.
Oh, the Hawaiian language is really beautiful. It's great for puns. And nuances and so forth. If I say K-A-U, that means yours. If I say ka-u with a little glottal stop, K-A glottal stop you, that means mine. So you got to pay attention.
Word.
But here's my story.
Sure.
I always considered myself the luckiest guy in the world, said so, and believed it. By the time I was 46, I was working in a steel mill in Maryland, got a little money together, started playing the market. And by the time I put $500,000 together, I figured, you know, no sense dying in a steel mill. I'd rather starve in Maui if it comes to that.
And that's what you're going to do, and let's hope you don't starve, of course.
Well, it's getting pretty close to that. I lost my house on the beach. I lost all of my savings.
Now, when you say you lost it, what happened? Can you get into that?
Well, I'd gotten hurt at work, injured my spine. And I had 22 different doctors writing scripts for me that year when I got my printout from the drugstore.
No. Yeah.
And for a while I didn't know who I was. And, the broker that I thought was supposed to be looking out for you, had me talked into a margin account.
Oh.
And one morning the phone rang and he said, hi, we need $140,000 right now.
We got a margin call, don't we?
Yeah, and it didn't take long after that. And, you know, I was fired from my job from being white and couldn't find a lawyer to represent me against that. The racism is building here behind the sovereignty movement, and it's really heartbreaking.
So it sounds like you have a lot of things that would lead to what's called a situational depression.
And here's a guy who had a tremendous positive that now become very negative. How does he turn that around?
I don't think he's become negative. I think what he's doing, or what I'm hearing, actually, is that he's really saying, look, these are the kinds of things that have happened to me, and they really feel lousy, and I feel terrible on the inside. And the trick is what can I do to not feel so terrible? And so what I would do is to say to you, you know, what you could do is to count some of the good things. Do you have, are you married? Do you have children? Do you have family? Do you have good friends? Now, that doesn't mean, though, that you're not going to have those crummy feelings inside of yourself. And what you've got to do is, what I would do at least, is to stop thinking sometimes about some of that stuff. And so what you want to say is, okay, Alan, stop that. This is not very helpful to think about what you could have done or what you should have done. This is what's happened, and now how are we going to move on to have a better life? I'm still in Maui. I still have these good things that have happened to me. But I think you're going to have to struggle more than maybe some other people because of all the crummy things that have happened.
Well, Doris, you know, it is a tough challenge, I think, for people nowadays to be able to just fight through all this.
It is a tough challenge, and I think people sometimes are really hit down by stuff, and I think those are the people that are going to have more grit and more resiliency. One of the things we know, though, is once you get to be a certain age, you do develop resiliency no matter what happens to us, and that means that we know we can survive, we can move on, but, you know, there are going to be some days when it's going to be really tough, and the main thing is not to focus on the crummy things that have happened to us but some of the good things. That's not to be a Pollyanna, but that's to sort of, like, pull us along. The way so that we can feel better about life again.
When you are on Oprah or Good Morning America, what are they interested in? What topics do they try to get you to?
Well, one of the things we talked about on Oprah was naggers and complainers. And we generally talk about relationships. I've been on there about three times. And let's see, we talked about husbands, wives, and sex on Good Morning America. You know, I've written a number of books, George.
Oh, yes, you have. You've been busy over the years.
I have been busy, but it's been fun. I love it.
Well, let me tell you, this book, where can people get Think Thin, Be Thin?
Well, they can get it at their local bookstore. They can get it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, those are the places they can actually get it.
All right. How about your website?
What they can do is go to my website, and they can see a small video that's up there that talks about the book, and there's all kinds of information about it, and then they can just click from there to Amazon.com.
You know, the power of the mind truly is an incredible thing, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. And if people would just really understand that, there are so many things. You know, we know that if you use mental pictures, you can trigger electrochemical changes in your brain that turn your thoughts into actions. And so what I tell people is when they talk to themselves in their head, you know, use pictures. Use picture words. Like, if, you know, instead of saying, I'm going to be careful lunch today, say, you know, I'm going to order a Caesar salad with grilled chicken strips on top. And that way you can see what you're going to order. And that's really helpful to you so that you can be able to control your eating.
Very good. Good techniques, Doris. Thanks again. And way too short. Hour goes by too fast, doesn't it?
I know. It zips along.
It really does. It's good to talk with you after
Thanks
all these years.
Thanks for having me on, George.
Take care. Doris Wild-Helmerine, her book that she wrote with Diane Hales, Think Thin, Be Thin. I'm George Norrie. I'll be back in a moment with our guest Daniel Pinchbeck as we talk about the Mayans, the Hopis, crop circles, crop formations, and a few other things. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast.
The After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505.